Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always with me is Rob Langevin, a.k.a. Smokey. How you doing, man?
I am good, and just like my co-host just said, I am Rob Langevin, and that's Kevin DeVries, and we're back for another FPL fantasy podcast, talking about the news and the strategies and the come with you all of what's going on in the fantasy football realm.
Yeah. So. Fantasy football slash soccer. We never really landed on who to cater to with that. So, the kicking one.
Yeah, the one that, well, I mean, you kick him. The one you don't wear a helmet for, well, Peter Cech. I mean, the one that Peter Cech doesn't wear a normal helmet in.
No face mask helmets.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
There you go.
Nailed it. So, we're sorry that we're a day late, but we're going to make it up to you because we're going to have two different shows out today.
Two shows.
Hashtag two shows.
Because
we're going to have this one, which is going to be normal FPL. Then we're going to have a separate show that's going to be draft strategy. We're going to have John Wallen from Toga on. We're going to talk through a mock draft that we recently did that I did not so great in. But Rob had an excellent team in that, so we'll talk all about that in a second show. So hopefully you can find it in your hearts to forgive us there. Honestly, not loads to begin with. But I guess we should start with some of the news, a done deal, and some potential deals. Let's start with Jorginho Wijnaldum, completes a move to Liverpool, comes in at 8.0. Point blank, is he ownable?
I think we discussed this last podcast, Kev. At what point are we trusting anybody from Liverpool? I mean, they completely keep, plummeting down my personal rankings, which I will have up on Rasball.com starting Monday of next week.
I'm supposed to send you mine.
But, yeah, I mean, who there isn't going to steal value from everywhere else? Offline, me and Kevin were having a discussion. We're saying, all right, I trust Firmino. No, I don't. I trust Coutinho. No, I don't. You never said that, but I said that. they still have Milner. They still have Lallana. They still have, you know, there's tons of guys there.
And they added Mane before they added Wijnaldum.
Exactly. I forgot about Mane. But Mane, to me, is the one guy in that group that is kind of different. He's kind of different because he can play the opposite side from everybody else. Or maybe that's just me. I think that he could just basically sign his name into the lineup every game and be on that left-hand side. Do you think I'm incorrect in that, Kev?
I mean, he's more comfortable on the quote-unquote right, but as Dave Hendrick, friend of all of our shows, has mentioned very much. He hasn't really played on the wing in the last 2 years. His crosses are not very high. He wasn't in the top 60 in crosses last season. So he also kind of wants to tuck inside. I do think he's flexible enough to play both sides. Firmino probably wants to play behind the striker, as does Coutinho. So that was already a little bit problematic. But I agree. I think the only way that Wijnaldum gets significant playing time is if he moves back to a central midfielder, which he was in the Netherlands. He just has basically the pace to be able to play on the wing, which is where he often played for Newcastle last season. So if they're running a 4-3-3, we decided to kind of do this last minute, so if you're expecting Kevin to get into loads of notes and stats, nope. Okay.
No stats.
So if you have a 4-3-3, I'm going to write this down while I'm doing it. All right, so you're going to have Sturridge up top. I'm going to say... All right, I'll agree with you, Mane, on the left, just because I do think he could slot in there, and I think Firmino would be more comfortable on the right. We've seen him there before. Coutinho right behind Sturridge. No. Okay, well, I mean, in theory, you could play Chan next to Wijnaldum, but he's not really comfortable in a double pivot. He does better in a 4-3-3 with a holding midfielder. So if you had Chan behind him, and then you had Wijnaldum on the as the left attacking midfielder, still behind a winger. So yeah. if you had a 4-3-3 with, oh man, I'm using my hands and that's not going to be good radio at all. okay, people should know. A 4-3-3 with a holding midfielder. You have a striker, two wingers, and two attacking midfielders, right? Or two mm-hmm. central midfielders, depending on how they're positioned. But, if you have Sturridge up top, Mane on one wing, Firmino on the other, and then Coutinho and Wijnaldum as the central midfielders with Chan behind, that could work. And that would be able to facilitate literally all of these players. But then, as you mentioned, you're leaving out Milner, which I don't really have a problem with. You're leaving out Lallana, which I also don't have a problem with. But it'll be interesting to see how they all fit in there. Anyway, I have accidentally stumbled upon the way that they could all play together. I'm just not sure that's actually what will happen.
Yeah, don't indulge us in that, because it's probably everybody's playing defender.
Yeah. Also, I did see one Liverpool fan say, after I tweeted about this, say that I also need to think about Origi, because he's going to play on the wing, because Sturridge is going to play forward all season. And if you think Sturridge is going to be healthy all season at this point in his career, I don't know how to help you.
Yeah.
That if you're is banking on that, crazy unlikely.
You better handcuff him, especially if you're in your draft format, because we're going to talk about this later tonight, because I actually drafted Sturridge, and I handcuffed him brilliantly with someone else. And we'll get into that later show, so guess what? Tune in later. But sticking with Liverpool, I think that there's too many hands in the cookie jar, where I've actually argued to the negative of that sometimes, where that if there's a lot of talent around, it helps everybody. But in this case, I don't see how it fits for your fantasy premier team. There's just nobody you can trust at that price tag, you know, at 8.0 for Wijnaldum, 9.0 for Mane, 8.5 for Firmino, 8.0 for Coutinho. There's nobody there that I would rather either spend the other extra 5.5 for or save the 0.5 for with someone else. You know, instead of Mane, you could have Payet. It's kind of a no-brainer, you know. I don't know. You know, instead of Wijnaldum, you can have Ali at 8.5. So instead of Firmino, you can have Ali. You know, instead of Firmino, you can have Eriksen. You can have anybody else that's similarly priced. And I think that they probably get the nod from me early on, because we don't know how this is all going to shape up. And with Liverpool's no extra games, I don't know how everybody's going to fit in, especially if he starts a big rotation wise. It's a conundrum right now. It's a big conundrum salad.
Yeah, and it is. You mentioned it. I think we've mentioned before on the show. If not, it was just us being friends. But Liverpool not having too many matches was why I had Firmino and Coutinho so high. Even though I have Coutinho behind Firmino, my thought was what we just saw from Payet last year, being able to only focus on one competition and doing brilliantly. I thought that was what Firmino was going to do this year. But now that lack of rotation is a problem because of how many players they've added. So very good point from you. Also, you pointed out that we don't know what it's going to look like at the beginning of the season. And you probably don't want to gamble there anyway, because they have Arsenal, Spurs, Leicester, and Chelsea as four of their first five matches.
Mm-hmm.
All of whom, well, three of whom had really good defenses last season. Arsenal, Spurs, and Leicester are all in the top three. And Chelsea kind of struggled last year, but now you're bringing in one of the best defensive-minded managers in the world, mm-hmm. in Antonio Conte. And so that's not going to be a cakewalk either. So not only do we not know how they're going to line up or who's going to lose minutes, but also the matchups are really bad. Like, so I know we talked about our teams last time, and we'll do so a little bit later in this show. But I now have no Liverpool players in my team.
Yeah, I have zero as well.
Yeah, which is a shame, because the more I looked at it, as soon as I was off Firmino, there was like a two-day period where I had Coutinho in at 8.0, which is a value, except now Wijnaldum's at 8.0. Like earlier, you were doing those comps between other teams. Like Coutinho or Wijnaldum at 8.0 isn't even close for me, especially if Wijnaldum's playing in central midfield. Because the reason he was able to get the stats he did last year, which, by the way, was largely just three games, is because he was playing on the wing. So he's getting crosses in, he's cutting inside, he's shooting. If he's playing as a central midfielder, him and Coutinho would have to take turns bombing forward, which is going to cut down his chances to go forward a whole lot.
Yeah.
Like a Dembele that could shoot.
Yeah.
Like, decent in draft, which we need to stop talking about because we're going to do that in a later show, but not very valuable in the official FPL game. So.
No.
Anyway, yeah, I totally agree. All hands off.
So. I mean, it's funny. I actually just brought up the 8.0 midfielders on the official game.
Yeah.
This is the 8.0 midfielders that everyone that we just keep referencing. Aaron Ramsey, Philippe Coutinho, Jorginho, Raheem Sterling, or Yaya Toure. Those are the 8.0 midfielders.
I just kind of don't want any of that.
No, that's my whole point. Like, they're all... I wouldn't roster any of those players. Zero.
You know what's weird? And this is a problem I've had with the fantasy industry on the whole for a while. And it's hedging your bets with preseason ranks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So nobody thinks that Yaya Toure will be worth 8.0. He's either going to be injured a lot and not play, and he'd be worth like 6, or he's going to break through again like he did 2 or 3 seasons ago, and then be worth 10. And so people are just like, I don't know, throw him in at 8. That always really frustrates me. Like in American fantasy stuff, like when you see players that are coming off of injuries and stuff, and so either they live up to their potential and they're a first round pick, or they don't and they're like a 6th, and so people put him in the 3rd. Like I realize it's not like a great way to value potential versus situation, like if it's an injury or if they're suspended or anything like that. I've just always kind of hated that.
Yeah, it's educated guessing. But with fantasy players, you know, it's just...
Yeah. Also, if you're listening to this and you're about to see our ranks, because am I still putting my stuff on your thing?
Sure, sure.
Cool. Great.
The more voices...
Posts. We'll see. We'll see how we put it up. But I will send them to you and we'll figure out a way. But when you see those, as a listener, as a FPL player, you will be bound to disagree with some of them. And I've gotten hate before for rankings. It's why I don't post them. It's why I haven't, to this point, posted them publicly, other than maybe one position a week over on the Taga site. Because people get so angry if there's a player they like that's not high on their ranks. And here's what I'd say. Do your own ranks. You should look at other people's to kind of get a good gauge. But before you decide to tweet anger at somebody, realize that you have to put every player somewhere. And so it's like when people do like their top 10 all-time lists of sports, like all-time NBA. And people leave like out like Hakeem Olajuwon. Hakeem Olajuwon was great and arguably my favorite all-time NBA player. But if you're going to put him in the top 10, then you're leaving out someone that also should be in the top 10. I feel like when people look at ranks, they don't really think about who's being left out. They're just like, my guy should be up here. And then you're like, well, who would you have dropped? You're like, Anyway, that's me complaining about doing rankings as part of my job. Yeah. But before you complain, before I get any tweets when those rankings come out, tell me who you would have had behind them, where they should have been. Anyway, man, I'm just in a ranty mood. This is what happens when I don't have notes. Apparently, I'm just really angry.
Kevin has diarrhea of the mouth without stats.
Nope, not going to go there. Okay, so we just talked about the big move that actually happened. There were some rumored ones throughout the week that you and I were talking a lot about, like Sigurdsson to Everton, or, what were the other ones? Oh, Marko Arnautovic maybe to Everton. Nope, that's a good draft guy. We'll talk about that later. But a couple very big ones that could come off. First, Pogba to Manchester United. Sounds like they've bid again. Gianluca DiMarzio, who has yet to be wrong in like 3 years of this, which is insane, saying that the deal could be done in the next couple of days. What FPL value do you think Pogba has?
I think he's going to be priced at 11.0 probably. Ooh. So he'll probably be coming this measurables to, you know, De Bruyne, Alexis Sanchez kind of category. The only problem with Pogba is he doesn't play forward very much. That's the thing with me. I mean, at least he didn't do it for – he doesn't play forward enough like a Sanchez or a De Bruyne for me to actually think that he would be worth that money. I mean, that's just me. I don't watch enough, you know, Juve soccer to know this. But, you know, he's a name guy. You know, you're going to buy completely into the Paul Pogba trademark name thing if you want to roster him. But it comes at the behest of would you rather him or De Bruyne or him or Alexis Sanchez? Because the people that are in Alexis Sanchez's camp are Alexis Sanchez supporters and are not going to shift their weight to Pogba from Sanchez. Same thing with De Bruyne. De Bruyne has a ton of opportunity. He's on a team that scores tons of goals. You know, Pogba going into United, you have to worry about where he's going to fit in, who's going to play around him, who he's going to steal time from. You know, there's Mkhitaryan right now has a ton of ownership right now in the Premier League, you know, the official game. So I think if there's
which
anybody
I also have questions about already.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, somebody that's 9.5 and is owned at 22.4% currently, you know, he's going to take a massive hit. Martial is going to take an even bigger hit. I don't think they're going to go wide as much. You know, it causes a fantasy conundrum because it adds another big name to the pot of already big high priced names that we can only have maybe three of max. If you're chintzy and you get cute somewhere, maybe you could have four. You know, would I love to have Paul Pogba on my team? Absolutely. But I don't think his fantasy output is going to be what we expect it to be from the name Paul Pogba.
Yeah, I'd agree. He had 8 goals and 13 assists last year. And a lot of times we talk about previous assists and then we have to give it caveats. Like, oh, it wasn't in a very good league. And while I agree that the Serie A has fallen on hard times, the defense has not really been lacking. So I do think that that is somewhat comparable. I agree with you, and I think it'll be really interesting to see if Mourinho decides to play the same 4-2-3-1 that he has throughout most of his career, because then Pogba's playing really deep. Also,
yeah,
just United don't have a good number 10. They're going to try to force Rooney into that role. I mean, I guess they still technically have Mata, who's born for that role. But we've seen with Mourinho him have one good season and then get kicked out.
Yeah. He's hated by Mourinho.
So I don't know. I don't really like that. I agree that Pogba will come in at a big price. I was thinking maybe 10. But even at 10, like even if I'm right, which I might not be, that's still a lot of money for somebody that's playing that deep on the pitch. And he'll pop up with a goal. He'll pop up with assists. I think more assists than goals. His ability to find a runner from deeper in the pitch is very, very impressive. But yeah, it confuses things even more. Like last summer, when we were at the summit, we were all agreeing that you basically couldn't own a Manchester United player. Now, obviously, we're past the 2015-16 season, so now we know that a lot of the value was in the defense.
Mm-hmm.
With like Chris Smalling mostly, and then Daley Blind to an extent. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we're back in that same territory, just with bigger names.
Yeah, their like price tags are way
Martial better. Is overpriced and is being played out on the wing now. Ibrahimovic coming at, what is he on, 11.5?
11.5.
Right? Yeah. It's just like crazy expensive. If his first match wasn't against Bournemouth, I bet you his ownership would be half what it is right now.
Yeah, it's 28% right now.
Yeah, Mkhitaryan on 9.5. Also probably too much. Then you have to deal with all the central midfielders. Even before Pogba, you had Herrera, Schweinsteiger, Schneiderlin, Lingard.
Carrick.
Yeah. And Daley Blind, who is probably not going to play center back more than 30 matches this year like he did last year. So now is he back in the central midfield thing? He had plenty of opportunities to play left back instead of Marcus Rojo, who was awful there. Mm-hmm. But he never got a look over there. But now you have a new manager. Blind obviously played left back the majority of his time at Ajax up until that last year. I don't know where he's going to play, but that's another name you have to worry about. Speaking of Daley Blind, if he is playing center back, does that mean Phil Jones isn't playing? Does that mean Eric Bailly, who they just signed, isn't playing? At right back, are we going to see more of Valencia? Is Darmian actually going to break through? He did have a good Euros. Is Luke Shaw going to be fit? Literally the only United player that I think is not only ownable, but a good buy right now is David De Gea. They're just... It's David De Gea at the back, and then 10 question marks on that team sheet for me.
Well, 9. I think Chris Smalling is the only other guy that I could bank on from a fantasy perspective. Though his price tag is, you know, is 6.0, so he's up on the top level of, you know, price wise for it. But he's, if you're going to have one fantasy defender, you want a guy that's, you know, in the Bellerin, Van Dijk, Smalling, Toby Alderweireld. One of those guys is going to be the anchor of your fantasy defense. Yeah. So depending on where you choose to invest in, either in the 6.5, 6.0, or 5.5 range, one of those guys needs to be on your team. So Chris Smalling for me is definitely penciled in as the only other guy on United right now that I would actually own besides De Gea.
Yeah. By the way, that random noise you heard in the background was definitely not an ESPN Fantasy Baseball update. And if it was, they have to pay us to sponsor them. But I agree. Actually, you touching on Alderweireld does... It's random Tottenham talk time. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Jan Vertonghen reportedly already back in training about a month ahead of schedule. Now looking like he might be available in the first couple of weeks instead of being out for a full month, which makes Wimmer's value go down pretty drastically. That having been said, other potential moves. Manchester City look like they're about to get back into the market after they got Gundogan early in the window. Leroy Sané, very good winger, in Germany right now. Here's a question for you. Either just with their current squad or if they brought in Sané, who needs to play on the right wing. Who in that team do you think drops out? Because they brought in Nolito, who I think is meant to be a backup for both Aguero and somebody, whether it be Sterling on the left, or maybe he's just their left winger day one, but they also still have Nasri, who can play attacking midfielder slash on the left. You have De Bruyne, who wants to play behind the striker, but played on the right a lot last season to make room for Silva, who played behind the forward, and not very well, may I add. I love David Silva, but he had a pretty poor season. Of all those guys, and then with the potential addition of Sané, who do you think misses out there?
Well, the first person that comes to mind is Jesus Navas. He's the first guy that
Oh, yeah, I'm not even counting him. He's gone.
You know, and the only other person I can think of is, and I bet you if they could do it over, you know, I can't see how Raheem Sterling gets into this team right now. I don't see how he is a fit in what they've brought in, and especially if they bring in Leroy Sané. You know, Sané is basically the same type of player as Raheem Sterling. He's a speed, you know, talent guy. You know, you pair him next to a David Silva and a De Bruyne in the midfield ranks and through the center. And then, you know, you have whoever you want to put on the right-hand side. And then behind them, you'd have Gundogan and Toure or one of the Fernandinho combinations. You know, this is another team that you really can't own. There's only one person on this team through the midfield that I could actually say I feel confident enough in that I'd probably be like, yeah, I need him on my team. But it comes with, you know, the elusive price tag of 10.5, and that's Kevin De Bruyne. You know, Kevin De Bruyne to me is stealing value from David Silva now, because I think the team is going to drift away from what Silva used to be for City, and his value is going to drift to what De Bruyne can do, because I think De Bruyne is going to be more of a facilitator this year. And now that they have added Nolito, and if they add Sané, you know, and if they get cute and start playing Aguero and Iheanacho up top with, you know, two strikers at the same time, or any combination of two strikers with you know, Nolito involved as well. You know, De Bruyne is only going to benefit from that because he's an excellent passer of the ball, and he's a very smart player to get involved in play. So, you know, I think that he could be the highest scoring player on City this year.
Yeah, and City, unlike Mourinho and United, Pep Guardiola is very flexible tactically, so it is a little harder to pencil people in, just because he doesn't have like that "this is my formation" kind of thing going for him. Like last season, he played 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1, or sometimes he did like that 4-2-2-2 weird diamond shape thing. He played with just one holding midfielder with like a 4-1-4-1 with Alonso, and then sometimes with Philip Lahm there.
Yeah.
So it's that, but that is a toss up for City.
But similar from this City, similar to Liverpool in a fantasy perspective, but in a real life football perspective, City has players that you could shift around better than what Liverpool has.
True. Yeah, I'd agree with that. Anyway, so that'll all be very interesting to see how they decide to cope with all of that. Staying at City just for a second, assuming that Boney leaves, because what's the point? What kind of value do you think Iheanacho has?
You know, depends on who you read in the Manchester area for news. There's papers that, you know, love him, and then there's papers that are, you know, against him. So I love him. I think that he is the perfect complement to what Aguero does up top. And I think Nolito could probably fit into...
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If City goes on an all-out attack kind of, you know, basis, I think you could put Nolito in a Navas role with De Bruyne and Silva next to him in the middle, and then insert whoever you want on the opposite side with Iheanacho and Aguero up top. I know Nolito is more of a, you know, a striker, but I could see Nolito actually filling in it wouldn't be a completely like a wide role, but it'd almost be like they're playing like two strikers with a hybrid right behind it with whoever wants to shift in and out. I love Iheanacho. I think he's a talent. I think unfortunately he's on City where he's basically buried by bigger names. If Iheanacho was basically blossoming on another team, he'd be sold, but he isn't, so because he's on City. Say if he was on, you know, Sunderland or Stoke or any of those teams, he would be probably similarly priced, 7.0, I'd probably say. Early on in the season, you know, I think that Pep will utilize Iheanacho because he wants to save his bigger name talent for, you know, the extra games that, you know, City has to play. They have to play in the Champions League. They have to play, you know, other cup games, you know, and et cetera. So I think Iheanacho in the beginning of the season will get more playing time than at the end of the season.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Apparently this is just the City hour. Another one sounding like they're going to really start chasing John Stones. I don't really love this at all. I think if anything, it just hurts people's value. I was actually pretty high on Otamendi coming into this season. I think he's a much better player than he showed last season. I think him being paired with one person consistently would definitely benefit him. But I've yet to really be impressed by Stones. I see the talent, but I do not believe that he is good now. And I don't see anything other than him either leeching value from other center backs or not getting minutes. What's your thoughts?
Honestly, how much better of a player is he than Jason Denayer, besides that he's English-born?
Yeah, that's a tough comp, but I can see where you're coming from.
You know, I mean, you know, I don't know what City's doing. This is their third defender in 3 years that they spent over, was it, $35 million?
Yeah, they have to sign English players, though.
I know.
Desperately.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's a requirement that they have to have. So you have to add John Stones is worth X times X because he's born in England. You know, he's an English-born player. So I don't see him. I mean, I commented yesterday, if the deal goes through at his 5.0 price tag, he's not only the most ownable City defender because everyone else is above him, Kolarov at 6.0, Otamendi at 6.0, Sané at 5.5, Clichy 5.5. He probably is going to be one of the most owned defenders by week one of the Premier League.
Hmm. Yeah. Entirely possible. All right. Well, I don't know what you want to touch on next.
No.
Hashtag unscripted. Oh, you know what would be really good right now? Commercial break.
Yeah. Told.
We did it. Get that stuff. You better. And if you're listening to this August 1st, you guys should really care about ZipRecruiter. I've heard that it's a super great service, either .com in the States or .co.uk in England.
Mm-hmm, totally. It's definitely the place I go for my zipping or recruiting.
Oh, dude, yeah, ziplining. It's to recruit ziplining experts. I'm pretty confident.
I heard that's an up-and-coming one. That's an up-and-coming thing.
Yeah, not so big in Middle America with very flat plains.
Middle America? Oh, I think it meant like Middle Earth America, like with aux and stuff.
Oh, Middle Earth? Yeah. No, I mean, if you're, you know, over chilling with Sauron and stuff, there were some pretty stark mountains there. I think you could get a pretty decent ziplining experience. You know what? Even if they were just on poles, I feel like ziplining through the Shire would actually be really fun. If you're in Lothlorien, I mean, you got trees for days.
Yeah. Yeah, or the gumdrop forest. Oh, that's the elf. Never mind.
Yep, no, that's a different thing. Did not expect us to go this way.
Yeah.
So we were
searching for a good segue, and I think we got one.
We nailed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's the best elf in fantasy?
Best elf in fantasy. Do dwarves count or no?
No, they're not elves.
Hermie. It's got to be Hermie from the Land of the Misfit toy.
Interesting. That's solid. Dobby's up there with a shout because he has magical powers, but he doesn't use them all the time. That's obviously a problem. Galadriel, obviously, a badass. It's not Legolas. Great. You can shoot arrows. Great job.
Oh, you meant you meant Lord of the Rings ones. I went completely
I did mean any elves, because you know, with the
Honestly, I think we're overlooking one. What about the Keebler elves?
Oh, dang, with the cookies? They live in a tree, Rob.
They live in a tree. They live in a tree and make cookies in a tree.
With an oven inside a wooden tree. That does not seem safe.
No. No, not at all. Well, it could be clay. I mean, they could put a I mean, they could have a do they have a fire marshal elf that, like, watches
that just watches over them to make sure they don't burn their tree house down?
Anyway. Keep making fudge stripe cookies, Keebler elves.
Good looking out, Keebler. Second best cookies other than Girl Scout cookies. So.
Ooh. Favorite Girl Scout cookie, go.
Oh, Thin Mints, not even close. You gotta freeze them first, though. I love it when they're chilled.
I like freezing them and making them into milkshakes with vanilla ice cream.
Oh, snap. What? Just with a blender?
Yep, you put the cookies and the ice cubes and some milk in a blender and some vanilla ice cream and blend. Mm.
I need to buy a blender, yo. Also, I really love Indian food, right? And lamb sog is like one of my favorite things on this planet of Earth. And I recently got into slow cooking. This is riveting listening, I'm sure. And I was like, oh snap, I'm going to try to make that. Yo, Indian food is really hard to make. Yeah. Also, there are like 90 spices required for anything. And I own like 6 to 8 spices. I'm a very simple guy.
You know why it's hard to make Indian food?
Because
you're not Indian.
Okay. Yep. Not a bad shout. I shouldn't have tried to co-opt their culture. I apologize, but your food is super delicious. I apologize for having the hubris to think that I could recreate it. Also, I wish that my bed was made out of garlic naan and I could just roll over and eat chunks sometimes.
Garlic naan is good.
It's so good. It's just garlicky bread, but it's the best thing.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
That with some hummus. Ooh.
A different culture, but I mess with it.
No, you could have hummus with that. Yeah. It's good. You can mix it.
Man, I didn't know hummus was chickpeas for like way too long.
Are peas mad because all the chicks get made into hummus? Because there's no man peas or dude peas?
Dude peas? I'm going to assume yes. I'm going to assume there's definitely some saltiness.
even though I don't think I would really eat peas if they were called dude peas.
Oh, for sure not. Oh, dear goodness. That's like Rocky Mountain oysters.
Rocky Mountain oysters. Those aren't meatballs.
Nope. Don't Google that if you don't have Safe Search on.
Yeah.
But anyway, what should we talk about? Oh, should we talk about our teams? Or stuff?
Sure.
I've obviously made loads of changes to my team.
Anybody else that you're hammering on to be like a concrete guy on your team? Like anybody you're completely zeroed in on, be like, all right, I can have him on my team to the end, to the first week?
Yeah, I think I've pretty much stuck my feather in Fabregas. I think he's going to turn it around this year. Oh, actually, snap, we could kind of segue a little bit here. There were some friendlies yesterday. You got to see Chelsea some. Any takeaways from an FPL standpoint?
Nothing that would. No, they didn't play. They didn't play everybody you thought they would, and the team didn't look very flowing when they didn't have their first team together.
Fabregas,
so it's tough.
Got a red card.
It's tough to tell because you want to see everybody on the pitch for 90 instead of 35 or 40. You know, but yeah, there's promise there. Liverpool looked okay, but we're not trusting them for fantasy anyway, so it doesn't make a difference. But from a Chelsea perspective, I liked what I saw. You know, it depends. Half the guys that came into the game, like Nathan Chabala, he's not gonna play ever. So but it was an interesting game just to actually see the boys in blue. So
yeah, fair enough. Well, yeah, Fabregas is a guy that I expect to be on my team. So is Kane, even though he kind of struggled over the summer. But I will not hesitate on Kane if he has a slow start again, like next season. I'll pull the trigger on him. I currently have Eriksen in at 8.5. I know you're more on the Ali side. Also, he didn't play in our first friendly, which is a little concerning. I upgraded from Højbjerg to El Mahamedy. We're both El Mahamedy guys, but obviously the sacking of Steve Bruce throws a lot of their stuff up into question. And you know, we've talked before about not playing against yourself. So I have 3 Leicester players and 2 Hull players. You don't want to do both because you're taking away points from one or the other. But the Hull guys are going to be on my bench.
Yeah.
And I have Andy Robertson in at 4-5, but I'm probably going to rotate him at some point. I already mentioned Vimmer's starting spot, not as locked down, with it looking like Vertonghen might be back sooner than we thought. So at 5, all of a sudden, he's not worth it. So probably going to have to change that. I do now have Aguero and Kane both in my team, just I was kind of leaning against Aguero to strengthen the team, but what you mentioned on the last show about it's much harder to upgrade than to downgrade, I thought was a really well-made point. And the fact that he starts against Sunderland, I think, is a very positive thing, because I don't think that David Moyes will be able to fix that defense week one. I think that's going to be a season-long process, and we might see from Sunderland a little bit what we saw from Leicester, only defensively, last season, where they started the season kind of struggling, and then it seemed like week on week they were improving. I think we might see something like that with Moyes in charge of that defense. But week one, Aguero, I think you have to have. Negredo at 6'5", I've really bandied back and forth about. Obviously, his first half for City, the last time he was in the Premier League, was amazing. Second half was awful. He's just been okay over in Spain. Now he's coming back. Honestly, if it was 7, I wouldn't think it was worth it. I think 6'5 is like exactly worth the gamble. We had on a Middlesbrough fan on our last EPL roundtable, and she was saying that they typically only play with one forward under Karanka. So you'd assume that with the money they just paid for Negredo, he'll start ahead of Rhodes, so I'm not really worried about that as much. Then through the midfield, I already mentioned a few, Eriksen, Fabregas, and El Mohamedy. I also have Mahrez and Drinkwater. I'll talk more about Mahrez in our draft show. I definitely have question marks on Mahrez, but the reason I have him in there is don't love Mkhitaryan for the price. I think he's ownable. I'm not saying he's a bad own. I'm just not as into it. I don't think Martial's ownable. And Payet and Ozil are both reportedly going to miss the first couple of matches as they recover from the Euros. So Mahrez is really the only player in that mold. So I'm willing to take a gamble on him for a couple of weeks, wait till those guys are back, and then kind of reassess. But he's almost like a high-end placeholder for me. Also brought in Drinkwater at 5'5". I just think that that's super affordable. I think Albrighton is also at 5'5", which it's going to be interesting to see who... Yeah. They were both 5'5". It'll be interesting to see how they work. I think Drinkwater does lose some value, considering he's not going to be next to Conte anymore. I know a lot of people are saying Nápoles Mendes is the next Conte, but I think it's very hard to make that comp right now. Other than came from a basically unknown background, is a black French player that plays defensive midfield. I think some of the comp could stop there. Yeah. So, weirdly, now that I'm looking at it, I'd probably much prefer Albrighton in there at 5'5", so probably do that. In defense, I have Peters at 4'5", even though their start to the schedule, I want to say, is tough. Middlesbrough. Then City, Everton, Spurs.
Yeah, and then it flattens out again, too.
Yeah, so you don't...
I think they play Bournemouth.
It seems like they have, like, one tough one and then a few...
Stoke's a great rotational defender team.
Yeah. Yeah, and at 4'5", I mean, Peters is always going to offer value. Without having looked it up, I'm going to say that Peters ended as a top 20 defender. What do you think?
Probably right about there, yeah.
But not because he's, like, in the 10s. Probably because he's, like, at 20. Don't see him. Might have just been wrong. Yep, nope. Well, now I just look dumb. But anyway, Peters is usually a solid bet. Vimmer, as I said, not so huge on. Fuchs is my big, big gamble thus far. By big gamble, I mean he's my highest-priced defender. He's only on 5'5". We actually talked about this a little bit last week, about the strength of defenders. What? How do you think people should structure their defense? Do you think they should have, like, stars and scrubs, which I think you mentioned is what you had at the time, or do you like more of, like, a low-price balance?
I don't like... I didn't buy into Bellerin, Alderweireld, or Koscielny, anybody over 6.0. I don't have anybody on team. What I usually do is I take... a high-priced guy that I like, my first guy is Virgil van Dijk. He's 5'5". Then I usually do the look ahead in the schedule for good matchups. Right now, I am loaded up. I have two Swansea defenders on my team because I like their first two games. And I have Fabianski in goal, so I'm basically tripling up for the first two games. Then I pick a guy on a defense that I like that I think could probably raise the most value. But he's not the top guy on the defense. He's usually the second guy that I think could always, you know, shine. You know, Patrick Van Aanholt is the guy on Sunderland that everybody's going to own. So I shifted my attention to Lamine Kone, who is cheaper at 4.5. So currently my defense as it sits right now is Lamine Kone, Virgil van Dijk, Williams, and Taylor from Swansea. And then I'll take the 4.0 punt on defense because he's never going to play. And I took Paredes from Watford.
I would be a little bit hesitant about owning three Swansea players just because it would be hard to rotate away from them just in a few weeks. Who do you have? Williams, Taylor, and Fabianski, I assume?
Williams, Taylor, and Fabianski.
Yeah, nailed it. Oh, amazing.
The thing I like about Swansea is they rotate nice with Crystal Palace. So, and all the Crystal Palace defenders are basically the same price as Swansea defenders. So, yeah. And I have as my backup keeper is the Crystal Palace keeper. So the first six games they rotate nice. So basically what I do is I take out Williams and bring in Scott Dan. And then there's my three defenders, Kone, Dan Dyke, and Dan.
Yeah.
I just started trying to figure out, names are good on a page, and trying to fit them under the salary cap is the second thing to do. Now people are just starting to get into, all right, who are they playing, week 3, 4, 5? Because the guys you bring in, the name guys, KDB, Ali, Aguero, Kane, they're going to be staples on your team until either they get hurt or they just don't do anything for you fantasy-wise and you have to downshift. Defenders are a little bit different because you're trying to plan for more of a time than them because defenders don't have that big name draw. Yeah, they do, but you're not going to really invest the money that, the Bellerins, the Tobys, the Koscielnys. You can't own all three of them. You can only really own one if you want to own four guys up, through the midfield and the forward ranks that are going to score goals. And that's where the points are, and that's where the fun of, fantasy is. But chasing the clean sheet gets you just as many points as a goal scored. So,
yeah. I think that a lot of comparisons could be made to pitching in fantasy baseball, in that you have your everyday starters, mm-hmm. which is like the guys that you're mentioning, and then you have your streamers. And you usually want a healthy dose of everyday guys, but then you also need some streamers to win matchups. And I think that's very similar with this, where if you are going to own a Bellerin or an Alderweireld, I think the point of that is not having to worry about a position. And then, like you're mentioning, you match matchups. That's not great. But you look down and you try to find ways to supplement your top guys. And I think that's kind of, like that Stars and Scrubs thing I was talking about, plus a little bit of fantasy baseball, where, you probably want, in fantasy baseball, what, 4 or 5 everyday guys? And then you want to rotate some, because otherwise, if you aren't streaming pitchers, you're going to lose quality mm-hmm. starts or win some weeks, even if you have the much better staff. So
yeah, it's basically like lining your pitching staff in baseball with quality relievers that pitch, 2 out of 3 days or 3 out of 5 days.
I knew you'd have to bring up bullpen stuff. He's the best in the biz, folks, for a reason, when we're talking about bullpen. But I'd agree with that. What's the rest of your team looking like? Yeah. You already kind of talked through the defense.
So the rest of my team is I've changed a little bit through the midfield. I'm liking what I've seen out of Nathan Redmond so far from Southampton. Yeah. I think he's going to link up nicely with what they have going, basically taking over in the Mane spot, but not really the Mane spot because he's kind of a different kind of player. Dusan Tadic is a phenomenal player, gets the ball in positions that you don't think that anybody could really pass it to. Redmond's is a good finisher of the ball. He's 6.0. For me, it's a steal right now at 6.0. I think he's the best value there at 6.0. I paired him with De Bruyne, Dele Alli, Andres Townsend, which I still have kind of a semi-boner for, and Jordan Ibe through the midfield. I'm liking
but you
only have to play 4 of them, so because I'm going to be playing 3 defenders, 4 and 2, so it's a big rotational thing. I'm just putting guys in there that I like right now that are getting good news. I like what Ibe could bring to Bournemouth. I think he's a great supplement to what they have going on offensively. He's not gonna steal time from Callum Wilson because he's a different kind of player. He's gonna play opposite of Max Gradel most likely. So those two guys draw a ton of attention because they're speed players. I know Gradel's coming off an ACL injury, but he's still gonna demand respect on the wing. Ibe's gonna slot into the he could flourish there for a Bournemouth squad that is probably very unheralded talent wise. They don't have a talent, but they have like one B talent, up front. I basically have the same two big names you have. I have Kane and Aguero. I have them sandwiched with Adel Hernandez.
It was Shane Long. Fair enough.
No, it's Adel Hernandez. Hernandez is the guy at Hull, I think, for me. I've shifted. I was all on El Mohammadi before, but I think Hernandez, if I'm not mistaken, I believe he takes the penalty kicks.
Yeah.
For a lower-level team, I'm looking for that Troy Deeney kind of strike from Adel Hernandez. Yeah. So yeah, that's my team. It's still a work in progress, but I've started to nail down more. Like every week, I think I nail down one or two more players that are close. My defense is pretty much close. It's the closest out of anything out of my team.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. All right. Well, I think that's enough for this show.
Yes.
And after this, to our draft show, if you care, which, by the way, care. Draft is a really fun way to do it. And also, I assume we'll hear from you a little bit about your auction stuff that you've been talking to me privately about, because I think that would be really interesting as well.
That draft is actually tonight.
Oh, cool. Oh, so we can super talk about that. What time is the draft?
11:30, because there's people from all over the world, so we have to compensate for everybody around the world. But maybe if next podcast, I'll get into what my team looks like. This is for the IEFSA.
So which I still haven't been invited to, which I'm pretty angry about.
Well, whatever. You're not good enough. You're not good enough.
I'm good enough at draft. Whatever. Anyway, that's it from us. Tell the folks where they can find you.
Razzball.com. Or you can find me on Twitter at Smokey_Loogie. Like I said, I'm going to be getting the rankings up for the FPL midfielders, defenders, goalies, forwards this Monday. The 1st, I believe, is Monday, right?
Yep.
The 1st.
Yep.
Monday the 1st, August.
Also, re-listen to these shows on the 1st so that we can meet a new sponsorship goal.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to promote these shows a lot just for no apparent reason because our friends like to hear them multiple times.
So much.
And to be honest, listen, if we weren't actually good at what we do, we wouldn't tell you to listen. Like, oh, we're awful. Don't listen. But honestly, listen to this podcast front to back, back to front. We're awesome. Even if you listen from reverse, me and Kevin mess with your mind so much that if you listen to us in reverse, we make total sense.
In Slovenian, which is, I don't know how we manage that. It's just really impressive. Also, I forgot I was going to say this. Somebody was tweeting, oh man, I really wish I remembered who it was, because now I'm going to sound like a jerk, because I'm pretty sure it's one of our regulars. But, I was going to say, welcome to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy football /soccer podcast where we guarantee that maybe you might learn something about fantasy, probably.
Oh, you'll definitely learn something. You learn more than I learn something every day, and I'm trying to teach people.
I just love adding a guarantee and then all those caveats.
Yeah.
I just think it's a really, really fun thing to do. All right, it's at AliT13. So there's a plug for you. Sorry that took me so long to scroll while we talked about it. But anyway, yes, I'm Kevin DeVries. Released my way too early preview for this season over on theeaglesbeak.com, so be sure to check that out. Rob and I will be releasing ranks in some way together or something. So I guess just kind of keep an eye out on that. Like I said, two shows today. Be sure to listen to those. Also, if you have any interest in the championship, Jake Jackman, who's been on the EPL Roundtable loads of times, has started up a championship roundtable show on our channel. So also be sure to check that out if you care about that. EPL Roundtable, last week we did a promotion special. So if you're interested in Hull, Burnley, or Middlesbrough, be sure to check that out. Season 4, Episode 1 will be this Sunday. We're recording. It'll be up on Monday. So be sure to tune into that as we start to cover the 2016-17 season, which has come way too quickly, by the way.
Yeah.
But very excited to really start diving into the new season. So thank you for listening to us on this. Listen to all those. Read all of our ranks. Learn a whole bunch, maybe. And we'll talk to you later tonight.
Peace.
For now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.